A nation can survive its fools and even the ambition, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so it can no longer exist. A murderer is less to fear.
Somewhere in Arizona, it's Sunday, September 4th, 2022, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or Monday, 0300 Zulu. Time for another airing of the best 2 or 3 hours in digital media, Article 5 Live, episode number 105. Thanks for being here tonight on Labor Day weekend. And I was not supposed to be at the home, QTH. Headquarters this weekend, but I am, and I will be leaving shortly after the show. We're going to have an abbreviated show tonight because of that. There's many things that I need to get accomplished this evening after we get off the air, so we will, in fact, go over some very important details before that happens, though, and I have some videos for you, and I don't know if you'll be happy to hear this or not, but I spent about 2 hours listening to Trump in Philadelphia. And I found it very interesting to note they did spice up and change up his speech content a bit. Obviously updated to the latest egregious things happening. Egregious things like illegal raid on Mar-a-Lago and the demonic Biden speech, he did a fine mix. Now, I don't know if you guys watched all that. I mean, are you really spending an hour and a half to 2 hours of your life now listening to a Trump speech? I don't usually do that. Because you know what? I know what he's going to say. Usually. I was pleasantly surprised by two things. One, he did not mention the clot, you know, the owie thing, the thing in the arm. He didn't mention that once. Not at all. In spite of the fact that Alex Jones called him out on that, and he responded to that by saying, I'm for it. He kept his damn mouth shut when it comes to that. That's a step in the right direction, in my estimation. I'm encouraged by it. I think we should still support President Trump with our whole heart and our whole minds because, you know, he did really well in that speech. That's right, Lisa A. He did great. And he sounded fresh. He sounded not too vitriolic, not too mean. He seemed to get the right balance of aggression versus temperament. I was impressed, I have to say. I was really, I had some other observations about Dr. Oz and how much of an egregious mistake the endorsing of him is. On the other hand, Doug Mastriano, he should run for president if you ask me. I love Doug Mastriano. I think he's a wonderful guy. I know somebody, my good friend Bobby Lawrence, who's been on the show many times, knows Doug personally and can vouch for his character. So that's good enough for me. Not to mention his public persona is the same as his private persona, according to Bobby. And Bobby's an honest guy. I don't agree with everything Bobby says, but he's a good man and he's an honest man. We're going to get him back on the show if I can ever get him to stay up late enough. You Easterners, you go to bed early. Anyhow, I have to do some programming notes right now in the middle of this Trump criticism or praise, whatever you want to call it. Tonight we are on JD Talking Head Facebook, JD Smailis Facebook, Article 5 Live Page Facebook, and JD Smailis Public Figure Facebook. We're also on JD Talking Head YouTube. Yes, we're off YouTube restriction now. We can stream on YouTube. Hello, YouTubers. We're on Twitch, Article 5 Live. Hello, Twitchers. And we are on Twitter, JD at Article 5 Hour on Twitter. We are also on the Rumble channel, which I wish every one of you would support. Go give me subscriptions. Send it out in your email list. I need support on Rumble. It's Article 5 Live on Rumble. I need that channel to be disseminated by you guys in your spare time, like we have any of us. If you have an email list, please ask your people to subscribe to Article 5 Live on Rumble. I got to grow that channel. They're the only ones that do not censor this program. We're going to eventually have to move everybody over there if we lose Facebook. And we lose YouTube again, and we lose Twitch, and we lose Twitter. Rumble's the only one that's not going to, that allows live streaming that I like to do. What you see is what you get. This is happening in real time. This broadcast has a soul to it because there's absolutely no editing going on here. And except myself editing when I don't call a certain thing, so the YouTubers don't, the YouTube either AI or moronic fact checkers want to give us the axe over here. So that's the only kind of censoring going on. So that's our programming notes for tonight. We're on all those channels. That's 8 channels. I really would like you guys. We're getting to that. Lisa A says, what do you think of the satanic looking stage of Joe's threatening speech? Not only do we have a couple of videos on that, Lisa A, we also have some commentary coming up on that. And, Deb likes to put lots of links up. So we'll put this one up here. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to leave it up there for a little while. So anyway, you guys, we're on those 8 channels. I want you and everybody you know to support the Rumble channel. Above all, get everybody moved over there because eventually I think that's where we're going to be at when the doo-doo hits the spinning device. So because I think they're going to survive a lot of that. Back to the Trump speech. I mean, I'm kind of charged up a little bit, actually. I'm surprised because I'm so over Trump. And I know a lot of you are, too. You are over Trump and his rhetoric and his BS. And you're fed up with him because of what he said in the past about the, the thingamajig that's making everybody sick and killing a lot of people and they're not admitting it. You know that thing. And, but like I said before, and I'll say it again, he did not mention that thing, you know, that comes in a little sharp thing and they push it into your body and it really messes a lot of people up. And if you're lucky enough to get the saline instead of the real stuff, God bless you. Like, I think James Copeland, who was on last week, must have got the saline all three times, because he's still very much healthy at 83 and very much his cognitive abilities are miles and miles and miles above the guy they call the President of the United States, that's for damn sure. And James is a good guy. I don't agree with James on a lot of things, but he still brings good and great historical political perspective to that very few people even understand to the platform to talk about. So anytime I can get James on, I always appreciate that. I want you guys to realize that this show isn't all about people I agree with on everything. Okay. Copeland is brilliant. He's an educator. He's done a lot of things in his life, and I value his opinion on most things. Some things I think he's a little misguided on, but hey, I think Trump's misguided on some things too. That don't mean I'm not taking Trump and throwing him out for the big thing he's misguided on. And this speech and his way he handled himself in Pennsylvania this weekend made me decide that I still support him for president in 2024. The man has got what it takes to lead this nation out of this ridiculous state we've been put by the globalist leftist minions. And so I really want... Yeah, Mike V. Yeah, we're getting to that, Lisa. And then Mike says he was an idiot even before dementia. You know, that's really quite accurate, Mike, because Dementia Joe, when he first came on the scene, a lot of people don't understand that. He's quite disliked by everybody he came in contact with. And if you go back and look at the interactions with people and stuff, they leave him going like this: what? How did that guy get in this crowd? You know, that's the kind of way they treated Dementia Joe even when he was 50 years younger. You know, he's turning 80, or he turned 80 or something. He's going to turn 80 soon. So 30 years ago, when he first became a senator, I think he was 30 or 30. Yeah, he was 30, I think. That's the youngest he could be, I believe. 25 for House of Representatives, 30 for a senator, and 35 for president, if I'm not mistaken. Those are the age minimums. Anyhow, Trump went after Biden, but he wasn't cruel about it. He was smart about it. That's another thing he did right. Now, I have to talk about Oz. Did you notice that Oz did not thank the president for his endorsement, didn't thank him for being there, didn't say anything about President Trump when he came on the stage or before he went off? He should have at least thanked him for his endorsement or thanked him for being there, and he didn't. And I'm going to say something. I don't trust that Oz. I think he's going to end up being a thorn on our side in the Republican Party. And Trump made a big-ass mistake endorsing him. So those of you who are new to the show or listening for the first time, it's a live broadcast, number one. You're probably going to catch it on a repeat because the live viewership is not that large. But I would say this. You're not going to find a sycophantic support of Donald J. Trump on this channel. You're going to find Trump support. But we support him and we criticize him when he's wrong. And he is wrong frequently, unfortunately. And one of the ways that Trump screws up a lot is endorsements. Now, he supported Mastriano. That's brilliant. How does a guy that picks Mastriano to support pick a guy like Oz over the guy that should have got that Trump's endorsement? There were three main Republicans, and I forget the guy's name now, but there was one that was a good one, and Trump should have endorsed him. And if Trump did endorse him, chances are he would have won. See, so these are not inconsequential mistakes that Trump makes all the time, and he's risky Republicans. I'm going to call Oz a risky Republican, as I'm going to agree with Deb here. Deborah S. says, I agree, JD, not too crazy about Oz, and this would not be the first time Trump got behind the wrong man. Absolutely right. And that's the point. See, you're not going to come, if you're new to the channel, you're not going to come to the Article 5 live show, which is a live show, and hear sycophantic support for President Trump, because we criticize him when he deserves it. And Oz was a mistake. He also, I'm not sure about this Blake Masters right here in Arizona, you guys. Trump supported this guy, Blake Masters. There were two other fine candidates, Jim Lehman and Mark McGuire. Mark McGuire was actually probably the best candidate of all of them, but he didn't get any support for some reason. But McGuire was great. Lehman wasn't bad. Masters, I'm not sure we can sell Masters to the Arizona electorate. And even if we do, his background is not that solid, if you ask me. So I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm going to vote for Masters, Blake Masters, over Mark Kelly. But I'm not happy that he got behind Masters. Now, Mike, you're going to have to tell me who he picked two bad AGs. I don't know where those are, but I know in Arizona he picked the right guy for AG in Arizona. That's, AG is that guy Abe, kind of a young guy that there's some questions about. It could have been a better, could be a worse guy here in Arizona. There was a better candidate in Arizona. Okay. But I wouldn't say the guy that he picked in Arizona, Abe, I can't think of his name. It's I believe, Indian name. And I don't mean American Indian either. It might have been Middle Eastern guy. I don't know. Abe, I can't think of his name. First name's Abe. Deborah, I know you're going to help me out on this. The AG candidate in Arizona, Abe somebody. Who's the AGs he picked that are bad, Mike? Give me the names. Anyway, the point is, I'm not here to do what Jones did last week and beat the crap out of Trump for the hanging on to the Wall Street nonsense, okay? That I'm over that. I'm over Trump for the most part. But man, oh man, this last speech he did was actually pretty good. I can't remember the last time I sat and listened to an entire Trump speech. Of course, I have to admit, I was waiting for him to screw up on the Jabberwocky thing. I was waiting for that, which he did not. He didn't denounce it, but he didn't promote it, not even in the least. And when Mastriano talked about no mandates of any kind, you know which kind? Both kinds of the main mandates and the shutdowns and all that other nonsense. Trump didn't argue with him. Trump didn't. It was really quite Hamada. Hamadea. Abe Hamada. Yes. That's the AG candidate in Arizona. And it could be a worse guy. They'd say he's not. Maybe not that experienced because he's only like 36 or something. That's the main beef against Abe. And there was better people, according to Republicans I trust in Arizona, said there was more qualified and better people for AG. No, I was thinking of Mark Fincham for Secretary of State, one of the best. And in Arizona, you don't know the structure of Arizona politics. We don't have a vice governor. We have governor and the next lowest office is Secretary of State, which is takes over the governor office in the event the governor leaves office before his term is over. Now I know what you're talking about, Mike. You're talking about in the past. You're talking about Jeff Sessions and A.G. Barr. Yeah, with Sessions, I think that somebody got to Sessions and had some dirt on him. I used to like Sessions as a senator from Alabama. He was a pretty good senator. He's about a 70 percenter. You know. So when he became attorney general, it's like he turned off his brain and did everything wrong, because he could have stopped a whole bunch of the crap that they did against Trump, and he didn't do it. It's ridiculous. So they either had something on him or he was a double agent or some kind of stuff like that. I'm not sure which one, you guys. But, yeah, good call. Good memory. I'm already 6 years removed from that, so I forgot. And Barr? You know, I don't know who the hell advised him to pick Barr. Certainly a senior executive service member. In other words, one of these guys that gets, you know, pushed around from office to office or into corporation and back into government and back forth, the senior executive service. Anybody that's in that, like Director Ray of the FBI, for instance, or, you know, a myriad of other of these forever bureaucrats in D.C., the senior executive service are the most egregious of these, because this is the good old boy network there in D.C. where they believe they actually control everything. And in a lot of cases, they probably do. So, you know, A.G. Barr kind of had some of us going for a little while because he was a little bit insolent to the ridiculous ass Democrats and wouldn't put up with it, right? Remember? So Barr gave us a little hope, false hope, and then he turned into an absolute traitorous prick that belongs in prison with some of the things he's saying now. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous what these people get away with because the press is on the wrong side of history and the wrong side of the people. Which is why you see the little flag behind me upside down. Because when you have all these things lined up against you, when you have criminals in the government, you have willing people in the media that aren't willing to point out all the folly of the power structure, because that's the spirit of the Freedom of the Press Clause of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. The spirit of that clause is to criticize government, not to back up all the anti-constitutional and basically fascism that's going on, you know, corporate inverted fascism that's happening. You got these multinational corporations in control of the United States government and among other segments of the cabal that control what the United States government does. And the press not only goes along with it, they promote this. Now that is a violation of the spirit of the First Amendment clause of freedom of the press. So if this were a just world and people had honor, that would be the other way around, and the press would be all over corruption, whether it be some of the people of the Trump administration, where he picked the wrong ones, like we were talking about earlier, or it be these ridiculously radical leftist Democrats that have taken over. And you know, if you think that language is too strong, did you hear Biden's speech? Anybody that disagrees with Biden politically is a domestic terrorist, according to this regime, Ralph. I don't even care if you're a Democrat. You know that's wrong. This is the United States of America. We have free speech. We have our God-given rights backed up by the charter of this country. And the left, no matter how much they try, they cannot erase that fact. Our God-given rights are backed up by a written governmental document, which is the supreme law of the land called these United States of America. Now, you might be tired of hearing me say that, but it's the truth, and it's ultimately going to be the downfall of these criminals that have taken things over. These people that have cheated and installed their puppet in there. And, you know, it's just not right. And everybody knows it's not right, by the way. Even if they're apolitical, even the fact chuckers of Facebook, the fact chuckers of YouTube, they know what they're doing is wrong. They know clamping the voices of dissension against the criminal aspects of government in the world, let alone not just America. There are criminal aspects of government in the world that we speak out against. When these fact chuckers, and yes, I didn't say checkers, I said chuckers, because they take the facts and they chuck them. That's the job of the fact chuckers, to censor anybody who wants to tell the truth. And, you know, even smaller shows like this one have been in greatly censored. They took down my entire channel that was up for years and years. Thousands of hours of content. Just poop, gone. Why? Well, you know why. I played a video about drag queen story time, criticizing it, and they said my content was inappropriate for children, so they took my channel down. Gave me a third strike. So anyhow, we've kind of got off the subject of Trump's speech a little bit, but I have to say, all these things are certainly related to. I was particularly pleased at how Trump criticized indoctrination and critical race theory and transgenderism, and he's up to date on that stuff. It's absolutely cool that he has incorporated these latest things that attack sensibility of someone with common sense. And it shows he's still unafraid to address the criminally insane that are in control of everything. So I was reinvigorated, and I think that now, even in light of the fact that we can't get him to denounce certain things that we'd love him for him to denounce, I think he's not ever going to promote them again. And that may be good enough. So you people that have had enough of Trump and you're not going to back him, I think you ought to rethink that. As good as Ron DeSantis is, at first he wasn't on board. He's kind of riding the MAGA coattails. He was kind of a little bit soft. He's been soft on Trump support at first. He's wised up since. You want to hope that as DeSantis is wised up and it's not, none of this is an act. I kind of trust him, tend to trust him more because of his history before he was a politician. And he's not that old of a guy. And, you know, as we get older, we get smarter about politics, generally speaking, not stupider. So now he's got more experience of being attacked and all that kind of stuff. maybe he's really is in our corner. But I still think DeSantis isn't quite ready for prime time, and we could use 12 years of solid rebuilding of the Republic before we have to turn it back over to the demons again, so that it can withstand that storm, that shit storm of Democrat demonhood that'll eventually come. No matter how good our guys are, eventually we have to turn it back over to the demons. So if we get Trump in there for another 4 years to try and start the cleanup process, then we put DeSantis or somebody as good as him, whoever emerges, but right now it looks like it'd be DeSantis, in there for 8 solid years after Trump's second term, we have a good chance of restoring this republic to a point where the demons that take over after that, because history shows that it'll be very unlikely that we get another Republican regime after 12 years of Republican leadership. This is all assuming that they don't bring the whole thing down, okay? Obviously, we could talk about that on another show, but I wanted to focus on Trump tonight because I think that I was happy about the seemingly refreshed subject matter of his speech in Pennsylvania. I think it was good. Overall, very good. And so anyway, that's why I'm not talking about doom and gloom and get your silver and your storable food ready and do all that stuff, because we don't know if they're going to be successful in tearing the whole system down or not. They certainly want to, and they're certainly going to try to. And they're certainly going to try centralized digital money up our ass and all the rest of the stuff that goes with that. Like, oh, you've already spent your allotted $80 on fuel. I'm sorry, your money will not buy fuel for another week. That's what's coming our way if we allow these criminals to continue to control things. Okay, so I don't really want to go down that path tonight. I want to stay political and stay optimistic that common sense will have some degree of victory, and we will retain some of the public, agreement of public trust, and that the structure of society stays in place. I'm not sure that it will by any means, but my comments are prefaced by the fact we're going under the assumption that they will not be successful in completely ruining society. So just that as a, should have prefaced my remarks with that. But anyway, back to the Trump speech. I think that we have to get the InfoWars crew back in order from their failed attempt to woo the president over to the correct side of things when it comes to the medical issues that face us today. And we have to give up on that and allow him his space in that area, because here's the key thing. Trump was never for mandates of any kind. Therefore, he's not guilty of any of the Nuremberg violations that many of the other officials are. So you have to give him that on the rethink, right? Yes, he missed the biggest opportunity in his long and lengthy career to become history's hero, hero of the world, actually. Had he come out against all the stuff that he promoted, he could potentially be cement himself for thousands of years in human history as the consummate hero. He blew it. We have to let him blow it. We do not throw away the baby with the bathwater, because I would say 80 to 85% of what Trump did during his presidency was for the betterment of you and I and everyone else in this country. And to throw that opportunity to get him back again in 24 out because of his mistakes – respecting the warp speed thing. I think that that's a mistake. So I'm swung back over to big picture being a Trump supporter. And I have a renewed hope that he will continue to move in the right and the correct direction between now and when he officially announces his campaign, which is not going to happen until after the November elections, in my view. I don't have any inside information, but he missed the absolutely excellent opportunity in July to do it when he was thinking about doing it. And he told all of his associates he was thinking about doing it. He missed that opportunity to officially announce. He did announce, but not officially. So now what he's going to do, he's taken the advice of Republican operatives that say he needs to wait until after the 2022 elections, which I think is probably not wise. He should have done it. But whatever, you know, he does a lot of things that he shouldn't do. He announces people he doesn't know to be. I give you Martha McSally, he endorsed for senator in Arizona. She didn't have a prayer in hell of beating Mark Kelly, and everybody knew it. I didn't want to be a prophet on that. Of course, you never know who wins any elections anymore, do you? Do we really know? Without hand counting paper ballots with watermarks and serial numbers, we really don't know. No one is to be trusted. This is why I'm such a Mark Fincham fan, because he wants watermarks on our ballots. He wants sequential serial numbers, which have to be accounted for. He also wants to hook a blockchain triple or double encryption key to your individual ballot so that you can follow your ballot in real time to the minute, the second it actually gets counted and tallied. Oh, but JD, that'll add 25 cents per ballot to the cost of elections in Arizona, $8 million every 2 years. I'll bet they spend more than that on the pieces of crap mail-in ballots they have now that cause them to be able to manipulate everything. So he probably saved money, too, by doing watermarked, serialized ballots. Paper ballots that are watermarked and serialized that each precinct has to account for every frickin' ballot. This is the only way we're ever going to be able to trust elections again. And it goes for you too, Democrats, because I ain't saying that the Republicans don't cheat. The Republicans sure as hell do cheat. In fact, they probably took the election from Al Gore, if you want to know the truth about it. I'll say it. I'm glad they took the election from Al Gore, but if they were crooked about it, I'm not glad. I think that if we were stupid enough to elect Al Gore as president and he got more votes in the Electoral College, really, if that's the truth, then Al Gore should have been president. See, I'm not a one-sided guy like that. If it is true, and I don't know, that Al Gore actually did win Florida, then he should have been the president of the United States, not George W. Bush. And in retrospect, really, could have Al Gore been any worse than George W. Bush? Sure, he could in certain ways. He could have been better in other ways. Bush was as bad as you get when it comes to wars and stuff like that. You know, it's the benevolent globalists that think they're benevolent versus the evil globalists. Even the evil globalists get certain things right every once in a while. You know, because after all, the evil globalists smoke their own dope, don't they? They are so convinced that of their own ideology that nothing else matters. Their humanity doesn't matter. There's nothing that matters. There's too many people in the world. We got to kill them. That's what they think. And they've convinced an awful lot of smart people that they're right. And that's a damn shame. James Copeland, one of them. You heard him last week on the show. There's too many people. We need to stop that breeding. Oh, really? Well, sorry, James, but I think Musk has a pretty big lot, quite a few more points on the IQ scale than he, and he says everybody ought to have 2.5 babies, at least. That's how we save civilization, make a lot of babies. And I agree with Musk. That's a really simple concept. Makes a hell of a lot of sense. We have to reproduce more people in civilization to maintain civilization. Duh! Thank you, Elon. Anyway, you guys, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but I got a lot to talk about in a very short period of time tonight. And I want to say that I've swung back over to the Trump camp. I never really left it. I was just really disappointed that he missed that great opportunity he had to be known for millennia to come as the greatest hero that the world had ever seen. That's what he could have done. Instead, he chose his stubborn-ass way of doing things. And that's just who he is. That's just who he is, you guys. He's not going to do it any different. Do we throw him out for that? I vote no. I say we put him back in there in 24 and let him shine, because he will come back with a vengeance and he will make America great again, just like the title of the show. And that's what I wanted to say about Mr. Trump. I have lots of comments about Joe Biden's speech, which I also listened to the entire speech. And what was puzzling to me about Biden's speech was there were so many things that he said were 180 degrees out of phase with each other. He was talking about protecting the Constitution, but everything he's done has taken a hot mess crap all over the Constitution. Everything he's doing is. And anybody that's read the Constitution and has a rudimentary understanding of what it means knows that the Biden administration has crapped all over the Constitution. Well, we have Lisa commenting on a Bush Jr. thing. Here's the thing that doesn't make me sure that the lefties are right about Al Gore would actually win that. Because here, you got to always pay attention to the direction in which recounts go. I have mixed feelings about the Bush v. Gore election of 22 years ago. But I will say this. In recent history, recounts are always called by Democrats, and it always increases the amount of Democrat votes that they find. I don't recall any instance where a Republican calls for a recount and they gain votes. What happens, no matter whether the Republican or the Democrat calls for the recount, there's always more Democrat votes. Happens every time. And it usually ends up flipping usually when the Democrat does it, the Republican won, the Democrat calls for a recount, they find all these Democrat votes, and they reverse the results, just like they did with Trump. So is that what happened in the year 2000? I don't know, because what was happening, whoever keeps calling for the recounts, even if Bush did it, like you say, maybe he did. There was about 5 calls for recounts. I can't remember what. But it ended up, each time there was a recount, there was more and more Democrat votes, right? Until the Supreme Court said, enough recounting, okay? And since it was always the Democrat getting more and more votes, I suspect that Bush actually did win Florida because, you know, they start counting ballots that were doubtful and all that just to try and push it over the top so they could take the presidency. So my personal feeling about that is that Bush Jr. actually did win Florida. And had the Supreme Court not stopped the recount, they might have flipped it. And you know, you can argue whether they should have done that or not. Did I put two G's instead of two A's? Did I screw that up? Did I put M-A-G-A? No, I meant M-A-G-A-A. I got it right on Podbean, and I got it right on Rumble, but I guess I might have M-A-G-G-A. Oops. Make America great, great again? Okay, we'll take it that way, too. No, it wasn't done on purpose. This is a damn typo. It's running out of time at the end of the show prep. All right, so anyway, one thing's for sure. If we have paper ballots, we stop the mail-in nonsense, we stop the voting month nonsense like we have here in Arizona, or early voting. No, if you don't give a shit enough about the election to show up on election day, you don't deserve to vote. That's just the way it is. Unless you're serving a country or you're so infirm you can't physically make it to the polls. Those are the only two exceptions. And they shouldn't be mailed in. You should have to call someone to act as your proxy, to come and bring you a ballot. You should have to put it. There should be oversight on every single case. Every single vote should have oversight. So anyway, none of this stuff should have happened. There should have been no question about the year 2000. Because that started a long series. Now, the damn Democrats have been cheating on election for decades. It's their common practice. That's what they do. And I think the Republicans probably do it too, but I know that happens in Arizona on the primaries so that they prevent real Republicans that would really make a difference from getting into office or getting into position to win the general election, so that most of the time in Arizona, when we go to the general, it doesn't really make any difference whether we get the Republican or the Democrat because the result's going to be the same either frickin' way. And the Republican establishment of Arizona makes sure of that in the primary, because when they get a MAGA Republican, I'm going to call him, even before there was such a thing as a MAGA, we had them. And they made sure they didn't get the support in the primary. They made sure the milk toaster Republican or the Republican that is really a Democrat but says he's a Republican, I give you John McCain in that case, right? Or how about Jeff Flake? These are they're either Democrats or just gangsters that call themselves Republicans. And then the establishment makes sure they win their primaries so that if they get elected in the general, it might as well be a Democrat. That's how it works in Arizona. You guys know how it works in your state. I don't. I know how it works in Arizona because I've been watching that shit literally since 1972. I've been watching it longer than a lot of people that criticize me for saying that have been alive, okay? Because I've seen it over and over and over again. That's what happens in Arizona. Now, maybe they didn't always cheat back then in the 70s with the ballots. What they do is the establishment Republicans make sure there's no money that gets to the people they don't want. They control the campaign money. Back then, the campaign money before social media and that kind of stuff was way more influential than it really is today. Now, when we really got the surge of social media helping the right candidates, of course, they shut that down through censorship. You know, Laura Loomer is not even allowed on any social medias. And she just barely lost that primary in Florida. And that's such a shame, because if Laura Loomer would have got the nomination, the Republican nomination in Florida, she would have been in the House of Representatives, and she will, once she gets there, and she will before too long, that woman will be the most powerful woman in Congress, or one of the most powerful women that ever came to Congress. And you know what? You want the vengeance of somebody who's been wrong and her constitutional rights have been violated over and over again. You want people like that to get into government, because those are people that are going to institute the change, which is back to Trump. That's why I want Trump in there. He's been wrong. His constitutional and civil rights have been violated time and time and time again. That's why we need him in there again, because if we get him in there again, he is going to take care of business. Now, they've cut my viewers way back since I've been talking about this stuff. So get back on there, you guys, if you can. I know they cut you off. Bring you back up. Bring them numbers back up. So anyway, it happened way before Hillary. Anyway, so maybe the flavor of the flavor and intensity of the Leninist style vote counting has changed over the decades and got more intense in later years, of course. But it's been here for a long time. And the way to bring back integrity, voter integrity, is key. We have to get confidence in our elections back. We hand count paper ballots on election day that are serialized and watermarked. Those five elements would make our elections trustable again. So, in the meantime, until we get that, what we have to do is we can't have this lame-ass turnout in elections. Excuse me. If you're a Republican, you need to get your ass to the polls on election day. We need 95, 98% of you to show up. That's what has to happen. So anyway, I covered what I wanted to cover about Trump. I started to talk about Biden's speech and I got sidetracked again. Biden's speech was a declaration of war against about 80 million voters in the United States of America. He's personally probably not aware of that, because I don't know what, you know, and when you get these people that are suffering from similar things to what Biden is obviously suffering from, some form of mental incapacitation, whether it's been from his two brain surgeries or from some sort of other dementia type of thing is happening to him. There's a variety of different things that happen to different people for different reasons. And it's all tragic. It's tragic what's happened to Joe Biden. Yes, he was a moron ever before he became mentally incapacitated. But I don't wish that kind of state of being on anybody, not even my worst enemy. But anyway, what I was getting ready to say about that is one thing that's kind of a common thread in my experience with people I've loved and over the years and known that became afflicted with such things is a lot of times it comes in a way. And it goes, you know, it goes like this. There's some days where the clarity is there. And then it falls off. And you wonder if they're ever going to get it back. And then they might get another surge of clarity. It's really, it takes the people that love people that are going through that on a roller coaster, a very emotional roller coaster ride. It's very horrific. Okay. So who knows how much of what he said in his own speech that he's actually aware of, and what the implications of it are. I don't know. But I would submit this, that he's not the one running the show anyway. Even if he was fully there, he would still be a puppet. Because Dementia Joe was never presidential material, no matter what. Unless he's there in the capacity to carry somebody else's plan out. And everybody that's watched Joe Biden for the last 50 years knows what I'm saying. Is 100% correct. A guy that has to plagiarize speeches during a campaign? I mean, that's what bombed his 88 run. Yes, he ran in 88, for those of you who are too young to know that. We've been plagued with Joseph Robinette Biden for quite a good number of years. The people of Delaware, the electorate of Delaware, are below the intelligence level of the electorate of Arizona. I can say that safely, as evidenced by their continued support of Joe Biden. So, I don't know what's wrong with you people in Delaware, but politically, you're morons. I can just say that for sure. Anytime you get somebody good to come along, you don't want them. So anyway, so I don't know how much of what Biden said he's actually understands. I don't think it matters that much. The imagery of this creepy red stuff and the two Marines to guard him. I don't have the same take that many of the commentators do. I think that was a sarcastic slap in conservatives' faces, is what that was. Not some kind of an ominous sign that they are going to, you know, use, that they're aware they're using Nazi tactics in American politics. I believe they're smoking their own dope. They think what they're doing is right, and they laugh at conservatives who call it demonic. And the set creator for Biden's speech, I believe, was being a wise ass to us. That's my opinion. I think is that childish. It's like eighth grade type mentality. I don't think they are demonstrating how sinister they are by it. I think it was a troll. They're trolling us with it. That's what I think. Meanwhile, the reality of the way they are, they don't even understand, because they are smoking their own dope. And what do I mean by that? They are so convinced of their own ideology that all the facts and evidence that surround them, that they are wrong about it, do not permeate their thought processes. That's what I mean about smoking their own dope. So another thing I want you guys to do is go back to the Dan.Dot video archives of last Friday and listen to the hour and a half that AJ spent with that Belgian professor who wrote the book called The Psychology of Totalitarianism. This is a fascinating, well-spoken Belgian dude who, I can't remember his name right off the bat. I wrote it down. I still can't remember it. It's not that hard to pronounce either, but if you go back to the archives on band.video and check out the third and fourth hour of the AJ show on Friday, you'll listen to this guy. And I'm telling you what, just like Jay Dyer, this guy's worth listening to, because he's got all this stuff we always talk about down to a fine science of explaining it to the layman. So it's really worth it. So now, you guys, I've been jacking my jaw for an entire hour. Now I have some videos for you. So since we're talking about, I have a couple of reports I want to share to you about Biden's speech. And I will get these videos queued up. This one is the John Bowne report. I want to share with you on that. I think this is pretty damn good, okay? I think you'll like this. I like down here, but I'll stay on a picture with you on this one. So let's listen to the Bain report here about the Biden speech.
Somewhere from a special place in hell, Saul Alinsky, forced to watch C-SPAN for eternity, is laughing.
I suppose, given a choice, I think I would pick hell.
Reveling in Joe Biden's textbook example of a speech utilizing every rule for radicals he could jam in.
Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Biden's address of doom arrogantly rattled on, knowingly ignoring the criminal double standard that the speech was perched upon like a gargoyle.
And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put into office because the Russians interfered.
Trump knows he's an illegitimate president.
The president-elect, although legally elected, is not legitimate.
I don't see this president-elect as a legitimate president.
You said you believe that Russia's interference altered the outcome of the election.
I do. We have a president who, if in fact it is proven, has been assisted by the Russians and may in fact not be a legitimate president.
The one thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is illegitimate president?
Now, when those Democrats were objecting on January 6th of 2017 to Trump's electoral votes from those various different states, there was no sponsoring senator. But it was allowed anyway. Now, when it happened on by the Republicans objecting to the votes in on January 6th of 2021, there was a sponsoring senator. Like there's supposed to be in the U.S. Code. I forget what it is. Just a little distinction of difference there, not to mention how hypocritical, which is not news, that Democrats are hypocritical, but on this particular point, it's so rich because you have them objecting to the electoral, the certification of the electoral votes on January 6th of 2017 when it regards the Trump election. But we have legitimate beef with the electoral vote certification on 2020, and we're all domestic terrorists and election deniers. It just makes you want to puke anyway.
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
And now, America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness.
He has never done anything for not even one person that I know of. I never heard anybody say anything about him. And people want to talk about Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that. Why is this man over there taking care of people at the border? We hungry. We need a place to stay. We feel like we're in a concentration camp.
After the country endured millions of dollars in damage and deaths due to the left's unchecked goading of violence.
And this is a nation that rejects violence as a political tool We do not encourage violence.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
You got to be ready to throw a punch.
You have to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face.
I feel like punching him.
I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
It's just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be? Does one of us have to come out alive?
MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies.
How many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked at it, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch. Got fired.
And as the senile placeholder for globalism was slowly helped away by his racist first lady, most Americans knew Joe Biden's speech would go down as one of, if not the darkest speech in American history by a sitting president of the United States. John Barron reporting.
Yeah, all right. Good report by John Barron. I always enjoy his work, and I like, he put an exclamation point on a lot of things we've been talking about tonight. Let's go to another report on the Biden speech to see what they have highlighted, a president's Brandon's Hitlerian speech. Called it Brandon's Hitlerian speech. So you got to love that. Breaking news. Biden delivers speech on battle for the soul of the nation.
Fellow Americans, please, if you have a seat, take it. I speak to you tonight from sacred ground in America. Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Habits of the heart in our character. Optimism that is tested yet endures. Courage that digs deep when we need it. Empathy that fuels democracy. The willingness to see each other, not as enemies.
Great to see that. We've stolen one of the Saul Alinsky tactics from the left to use against this a-hole. And somebody is in the background yelling F Joe Biden at his great speech that he had 30 people at. So I'm encouraged to see that we've learned that we have to fight fire with fire in that regard.
Enemies, but as fellow Americans, look, our democracy isn't perfect. It always has been. Notwithstanding those folks you hear on the other side there, they're entitled to be outrageous. This is a democracy. But history and common sense... nothing they've ever suffered from. And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards, backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy. No right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
President Biden finishing a 24-minute speech at Independence Hall in Philadelphia. He said, as he stands there tonight, equality and democracy are under assault, and he left no doubt whom he believes it is under assault by. He said, Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. A big portion of the speech, maybe the majority of the speech, devoted to that very subject.
And we come here not as conquerors, but as liberators.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Return to your homes. Hold your families close. And wait. The fire rises.
Share this video with your family and friends right now at band.video.
You're watching the video, and there was some really good editing going on with the video B-roll behind the voices you hear. So you didn't get the full effect. So anyway, that was fun, wasn't it? Let's see what else we can share with you about the FJB speech that was given. Oh, this is going to be Christy Lee's report, you guys. So I really like it when we get a chance to share her work. Let's see what she has to say this week.
Rounding out the week with President Biden's address to the nation.
The Republic will be reorganized into the first galactic empire.
Whoops. I mean, this speech, to unify the nation, does this look like a unifying stance? Remember when he said he would unify the nation less than 2 years ago?
It's time to put away the harsh rhetoric, lower the temperature, see each other again, listen to each other again. And to make progress, we have to stop treating our opponents as our enemies. They are not our enemies. They are Americans.
Far cry from what we saw Thursday night.
Yeah, the imagery there was almost satanic with that blood red lighting and the two Marines behind him. It was just insane. Look, this was a garbage speech by a garbage president.
Now watch as CNN tries to adjust the blood red background into a more softer pink.
Only if we the people accept the results of free and fair elections. Only if we the people see politics not as total war, but mediation of our differences.
Most of Biden's speech was centered around attacking half the country that doesn't agree with his leadership. But now the backtrack. After even some CNN talking heads blasted Biden for using the military backdrop in his declaration of war against opposition.
Mr. President, do you consider all Trump supporters to be a threat to the country?
No, everyone. Come on, look, guys. You keep trying to make that case. I don't consider any.
As Geller Report points out, missing from the speech, nothing to lower inflation, nothing to reduce crime, nothing to secure the southern border. Speaking of the southern border, why is Peter Ducey the only reporter that challenges the White House?
Submit protocols, I refer you to them. They have their own specific protocols as well. They're two different things.
How is it two different things? Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated. They're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually, no.
I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not, it's not like somebody walks over and that's not how.
Exactly what's happening.
We, well,
thousands of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves over. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not. That is what is happening.
The border issue is just one of many that have articles of impeachment waiting for Biden if Republicans take over in the midterms. Supposedly, MTG has led the charge to impeach Biden, calling for it again after his speech. But what about Trump? Hasn't he been divisive?
Sorry, you said you feel like Joe Biden is dividing the country, but do you feel like Donald Trump is doing the same by falsely telling people that he won that election when he lost it?
How does that divide the country? Questioning an election where there are obviously problems is dividing the country? Since when can we not ask questions about our elections? As a journalist for many years, I was a journalist after 2016, and I distinctly remember many people just like you asking a lot of questions about the 2016 election results. And nobody tried to shut you up. Nobody tried to tell Hillary Clinton to shut up. Nobody tried to tell Kamala Harris when she was questioning the legitimacy of these electronic voting machines to stop. We have freedom of speech in this country, and you of all people should appreciate that. You're supposedly a journalist. You should appreciate that. So I don't see how asking questions about an election where there are many problems is dividing a country. What I do see dividing a country is shutting people down, censoring people, canceling people, trying to destroy people's lives when they do ask questions. Last I heard, we still have the Constitution. It's hanging by a thread, thanks to some of the work some people in this area have done. But we're going to save that Constitution, and we're going to bring back freedom of speech. And maybe someday you'll thank us for that.
Speaking of election interference, the senior FBI official Timothy Theibold on leave from his supervisory role after agency whistleblowers showed a pattern of political bias is now out. He's been accused of leading efforts to hide the Hunter Biden laptop, its authenticity, just before the 2020 election. Theibold denies those claims, and his handlers say his resignation is just a coincidentally timed retirement. And now Biden's new intel advisor is MSNBC analyst Jeremy Bash, a former CIA chief of staff who signed the letter saying the Hunter Biden laptop story was just Russian disinformation. Now that Zucker let it slip, Facebook frequently let the FBI weigh in on social media circulation guidelines. Some GOP senators are demanding receipts, asking for any communication regarding the Hunter Biden laptop. Meanwhile, Twitter, which also stifled the Hunter story, still has Elon Musk to worry about as he gears up for trial. Citizen Free Press reports Musk is gathering evidence. Musk responded to a report that an expert says 8 out of 10 accounts are fake, with sure sounds higher than 5%. There was no time to look into national security concerns regarding President Biden's son, but documents locked up and guarded by 24/7 Secret Service is the gravest concern.
I'm getting emotional. I'm trying not to. But I care about my country so much. People. He had documents.
According to Becker News, court filings confirm client attorney privilege documents were among the files collected during the Trump raid, prompting the Trump team to request a special master review. CNBC reports the judge will rule on that request later, but for now, the federal judge in Florida has unsealed a more detailed inventory of items FBI agents seized. So what did we find? I see magazines, newspapers, empty folders, documents without classification markings. Where is anything relating to nuclear codes, as frequently suggested by mass media? Also this week, the Boston Globe puts out this completely false headline. In Florida, don't say gay is now the law. Corporate news just can't let it go. The Parental Rights and Education Act doesn't even say don't say gay anywhere in it, but they know that. Twitchy.com catalogs the snarky responses to its blatant propaganda. I hear DeSantis is rounding up people who say gay and is forcing them to watch MAGA videos as conversion therapy. Shameful. My father said gay in Tallahassee and has been in jail since last Tuesday. And it's the Washington Post versus Libs of TikTok again after releasing this recording.
I was calling for information about gender-affirming hysterectomies.
Okay, so gender-affirming hysterectomy.
I've been in touch with quite a few hospitals, and a lot of them, well, they said they won't do it for my 16-year-old. And then I was told that this hospital might, and I also saw it on your website.
Some departments cut off at 18. How old is your patient?
16.
Okay. All right. So they're in the clear.
Okay, great. Is it a common procedure that you guys do for that age?
Yes, we have all different type of age groups that comes in for that.
For the hysterectomy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, do you know, like, what's the youngest age you would do it on?
I'm not sure, but I have seen younger kids. And I'm not, you know, beat a hip, I'm not allowed to say that, but I have seen younger kids, like, younger than your child's age.
The Washington Post reached out for comment, sort of. Libs of TikTok, WAPO's Pete Jameson, reached out for comment, and I responded 12 minutes later, agreeing to an interview. He then published it hours later without responding to me until after publication. Now he's saying he can update the story with my comments. That's not how this works. And the account gets suspended again. In her Substack, she responds, Washington Post claimed that I falsely suggested Children's National was doing hysterectomies on kids when I literally quoted the hospital's own website and staff. To nobody's surprise, Taylor Lorenz, the lunatic who showed up at my family's home to dox me, contributed to the report. Highlighting how WAPO and all the other propaganda puppets are lying, misleading, ignoring, or sensationalizing, that's your media malfeasance for the week.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Christy. Good stuff. And we have one more video for you tonight. I'm going to share with you this one, which is a Reese report about Princess Diana's death, which is quite... Whoops, what the hell happened there? I could have gone all night without doing that. Let's remove that nonsense and go here. Stop sharing. All right. Here we go. Let's try that again. That was kind of weird. I'm not getting this. I don't understand. All right, maybe we'll save that for next week because that's evergreen stuff. Okay. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. I know it's abbreviated. I usually go on and on and on and on and on. So many of you might be happy that I'm getting ready to get off the air right now. But anyway, I wanted to touch base with you guys on this Memorial Day weekend. And I want to let you know that all of you are in my thoughts. And my prayers as much as can be expected through a digital relationship anyway. So I'm not giving you any BS there. But I do want you to realize that the answer to all of this is to make sure that you do not lose your humanity. That you continue to have compassion and empathy for your fellow man. That you continue to love those you don't even know. And that you always make sure you hang on to the elements that make you a human being. It's okay to get pissed. Just don't act on that. Ultimately, you have to resist. Peaceful disobedience. Unrighteous. We'll see you next week, good friends, on Arc 5 Live. Be there, make sure you go to Rumble and subscribe, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and all of Facebook. We'll see you guys again.